No, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to say. People, I'm going to follow the procedures. If two-thirds of the body wishes to close debate, it will be closed. Now, I'm just going to take a clarification from Jane.
I want to know, is it possible to make a friendly amendment?
No, it would be out of order to do so. All right, we'll go to the vote on Terry's substitute amendment. All those in favor signify by raising your hands. David is making a distinction. What is it?
We're voting that this will be the motion we vote on.
Well,
we are not approving Terry's motion.
I'd like to hear the motion from the chair, please.
Okay, one moment. I think David and I actually agree. I hope we do. If Terry's substitute amendment, his amendment passes, it will be, I think, David, we do disagree. It will actually be added and altered the main motion. It will alter the main motion of Dunn.
Yeah, until we vote.
Well, we're trying to do that right now. That's right. We're trying to do that right now. All right, very quickly. No, only the portion. Okay, wait. Let me make this clear. Donna's motion will still exist, except as it is altered by the amendment. We need to clarify this. Okay, all right, there we go. Okay, one moment.
Can we just make this a friendly amendment to...
No, that would be out of order because the question has been called and we're going to vote. I think the only distinction, maybe the chair is in error. I thought some of Donna's main motion still would exist, but David is saying that this motion would totally substitute. And now that I think about it, I think that is probably true. This would be true. Well, we're going to take one last point of information before we go to a vote.
I agree with you, but I'd like to have Terry as the maker. He says yes or no. Is that accurate, Terry? This is a substitute motion, not an amendment. Want to make sure we all understand
that. That's a good point. I apologize. This is a substitute motion that replaces Donna's motion. Okay, and we're going to be voting up or down on Terry's substitute motion.
Two-thirds required.
Let's go to a vote. Those in favor of Terry's substitute motion. Yeah, we're trying to clarify that now. Yes. Okay, so let's go to a vote on the substitute motion by Terry. And with those in favor of that substitute motion, raise their hands, please.
Very much. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. One more time. You guys,
we're going to re-vote. Would you raise your hand if you support the substitute motion?
And raise your hand high. You're a yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
That's right.
9.
Those opposed?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yes, I'm actually going to support the substitute motion. All right, the question has been called.
Friendly amendment?
Okay. Let me just get a clarification. We have now a substituted motion. And the question that Jane is asking is whether or not there can be amendments to this. There can be on the substitute. Yeah. That's right. On this. Or who seconded the call for the question? Okay, it's been moved and seconded. That the question has been called on the substitute motion. Therefore, we'll go to a vote not on the motion, but whether to close debate. Those in favor signify by raising your hands.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, it's tables.
Point of order.
I'm sorry. We cannot recognize points of order from the. We are going to public comment very soon, so that would be out of order. Yes. Okay. We're a little behind.
That's your problem.
Okay. I know. Well, it's a shared problem. David.
If you do not get it voted, then this portion of the agenda as agendized was supposed to include populating the committee. So if anybody feels that we need to do that, there needs to be a motion sometime within the next 10 minutes to extend this portion of the agenda. And if it does not receive 2/3, we will not be able to continue, and we will not have achieved our goal from the committee.
All right, so that puts us under a certain level of pressure. Chair recognizes Jane Holloway.
Just a friendly amendment that instead of saying at the amount of people that the initial membership in NC of Terry's amendment, that the initial membership of that committee shall be determined by an STD election. My amendment is that is struck.
Did that be struck? Okay, is there a second? It's been moved and seconded that be struck.
And so,
okay. No. That passed. Excuse me. That passed. So Terry's motion is now the motion on the floor. Terry's motion is the motion on the floor. Yes, but she's moving an amendment. But you know, I think there's confusion.
I don't mean the minimum. I mean, there has to be a minimum. I'm saying that there shouldn't be a closure for voting.
This amendment. Okay, so I'm going to ask you to restate your amendment clearly so everyone knows what that is.
What I'm suggesting is that yes, there is a minimum 2 to 5 members, but no, there is not a maximum, and it is not put to elections or selections, that it is kept open to volunteers.
Okay, now everyone is clear as to the tolerant amendment, open to discussion. Oh, yes. I think Sonali and then... Okay, but people, the problem with the old staff is I'm not sure that staff. So we will recognize these people in order if you wish to speak on this amendment. That's what we're speaking on now. There's a point of procedure.
The problem with doing that staff is that if you have a bunch of people on one side of the question gets called. Robert's rule specifies that it's a good idea for the chair to alternate between positions so that at any moment the question is called, everybody goes third position on either side. That makes it more fair. So I'd like to ask that the chair alternate, go down the stack, but alternate between pro and con on that stack.
Okay. The chair is going to recognize first a pro on the Halloran Amendment, someone who's pro on the Halloran Amendment. One moment here. Right, and they are so Ed. Well, we can start with a con or a pro either one. Ed, go ahead.
I'm con. The problem with that is that the same. Mind you, this is not talking at all about listeners belonging to the committee. It's only talking about how many board members will be on the committee. Nobody is limiting the board members. You can go to a committee without having, some kind of authority. The question is, from my point of view as administrator, is who is responsible? I would have been in favor of 2 people. Not that people couldn't come to the board and vote on the thing anyway, because we all have to vote. But 2 people responsible for administering, and more than 2, and certainly more than 5, it becomes a hodgepodge. Anyone that comes to any meeting, and suddenly there's no responsibility of who's taking care. Never mind. But I'm an administrator, and I feel burdened quiet. But like five people, there are too many people, like a whole board, nobody does nothing except somebody that will do it. I want to see people that are responsible and responsible for the reporting minutes and so on. And that means that there should be some limits. So I look for two, but I'll take five.
Is there a pro on the Halloran Amendment? Leslie.
Yes. First of all, as I understand Jane's amendment, she's making the committee open to all members who want to attend. That would seem to me that she is also striking clause, I believe it is, calling for listener membership by majority vote of LSV members. Am I mistaken there, Jane? I feel that we certainly don't want the LSV picking the listener members of this committee by majority vote.
That's right.
All right, then you're also amending the strike to section I?
Wait, no, the amendment has been clearly worded, so, okay, so...
Amendment 1?
Okay, does that conclude your remarks, Leslie?
Yes, it does.
Okay, a con on the Halloran Amendment. Wait, excuse me, Sonali has been very patient and said it. Yes, Sonali, are you a con here? Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that at some level, because these committees are going to be bringing motions before the board will, as a whole, will get to decide what decisions to take. The discussion can happen, I think, very well between committees, among the committee that has up to five people, and any larger, it can get very unwieldy, and the entire board can choose to totally disregard or totally vote down on any motion that any committee makes if they disagree with it. Plus, since there's public comment at all meetings, the listeners will get to participate. I think that just in order for us to be able to make decisions, we've all been elected by people who we represent, and I would like to speak in favor of keeping the committees 2 to 5 people, because I think that way we can actually get things done.
All right, that is a con. Yes.
We have 3 minutes left, so we either need a motion to extend the debate or we need to take this to the board.
The question is called for. Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded that the question is called. This is only, the vote will be only on closing debate and going to a vote. All in favor of calling the question and closing debate, raise your hand.
To close debate.
To close debate only.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
14. The motion. Those opposed, one more. I'm going to finish the vote, and then I'm going to take Marie Gary's inquiry. All of these voting in favor. Opposed.
Opposed. 1, 2.
The motion carries. Now keep in mind, this vote is on that help. Excuse me, just a moment. Let me see if I can clarify this, and if I'm wrong. This vote is on the Halloran Amendment. This is on the Halloran Amendment. We close debate, so we're not going to have debate. It was only for clarification. Those in favor of the Halloran Amendment.
Wait a minute, Don.
One moment.
Read the amendment to know what it actually says.
Jane, restate your amendment.
Unfortunately, I don't have I here, or I wouldn't agree with Leslie that would be added.
No, just read your
amendment. Okay, but my original statement is that there is no, that anybody who from this LSB board and the public who wants to be on a committee can be on a committee, that it does take 2 to 5 people, or whatever the minimum is, but it does not cut off at 5.
All right, we're going directly to a vote. Marie, do you have an inquiry? I'm sorry? A point of information. Go ahead.
Example, why
don't we
need committees between 2 and 5
people? Yeah.
We want to get anything done.
Yeah. As much as I love you, you're out of order. Okay. Let's go to a vote. Those who favor the Halloran Amendment, raise your hands.
Hi, raise your hand. Hi. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Those opposed? Okay, the amendment fails. Chair would entertain. The question has been called. It's been moved and seconded that we call the question on the substitute motion that did succeed. It is the Terry substitute motion. The question has been called. Let's just vote on closing debate and going to a vote. Those in favor of closing debate with the call of the question?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
Opposed? Okay, the question succeeds. We go to a vote on the Terry substitute motion. Those in favor, excuse me. I'm sorry.
Are you doing this now here from listeners?
Actually, this formation of committees, right, but the listeners are going to have public comment right after this. The formation of the board's own committees will take place before listener comment. Those in favor of Terry's substituted motion, raise your hand.
Terry, this is the only...
I know what I'm doing here on this one. I'm applauding. I want to congratulate the board for actually creating some infrastructure. Time is called. One moment. Those opposed. There are no opposing. I heard that, you know. I know, but I'm not. Yeah, it's okay. Okay, there's a request from a member to call the roll. It's been moved and seconded without.
Can we get the opposition to support it?
No.
Excuse me.
We're going to call the roll.
Point of order.
If there is.
We're going to have a roll call. We have to extend the time by another 3 minutes.
Okay, could you make that motion?
Stick to the time.
Are you making that motion?
I'm making a motion to extend for 2 minutes.
It's been moved and seconded that we extend for 2 minutes. Those in favor to facilitate a roll call.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
Okay. The chair recognizes that the extension of time has occurred. Would the secretary read the roll on the Terry substitute motion? Okay, 1 moment.
No.
Time. We only extended time.
In order to facilitate the roll call.
Following, I'm going to rule, Jim, that we're going to go to a roll call vote at this time, and then we'll take your inquiry for information after that. Would the secretary read the roll?
Please vote yay or nay. Grace Aaron. David Adelson.
Yeah. Go ahead. Continue the roll.
David Adelson.
Yeah.
Sarah Mayer. Maria Armudian.
Aye.
Marie Carey.
Aye.
Jim DiEugenio. Nana Lordani.
Yes.
Israel.
Boyer.
Aye.
Bill Gallegos. That was a yes. Sharon Block.
Yes.
Jan Goodman.
Yes.
Terry Goodman, yes. Jane Halloran.
No.
Sonali Kohatker.
Aye.
Alan Nesky.
Yes.
Ed Pearl.
Yes.
Margaret Prescott. Leslie Radford.
No.
Julie Rodriguez is going on here. Matt Swan.
Yes.
Fernando Velasquez.
No.
Don Joe Warren?
Yeah.
Harrison Weil?
No.
done, and Don doesn't vote except for a time.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15,
yay. Five, nay.
All right, the motion, the substituted motion of Terry passes, and we have created a committee. Now, I'm going to go just for a split second to Jim.
I think I downloaded this thing 4 or 5 times today. The thing that I'm looking at, that I downloaded yesterday in the afternoon, does not even include this letter I, that he added. Now, that was a very serious problem.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll let you respond to it, Jim.
I was downloading 6 different things, and then I think I'm ready, and I'm not.
Yeah, let me explain. Let me explain. Anyone can put anything on the internet they want. It is not official business of this board until we meet and approve an agenda. Therefore, no one should assume that because they download something that someone has posted, that it has any official kind of authority. So unfortunately, you're going to have to be very careful. Just because agendas are posted and things are posted, I'm sorry, I missed that. Okay. So do not assume anything you download has any official veracity unless this board approves it as part of the agenda.
Can I ask a question?
Well, actually, Jim, you asked the question, and I think we need to move ahead.
I know your answer.
My motion was to extend the time for 2 minutes only to deal with getting a roll call. It is time to move on.
It's time to move on. I'm actually going to recognize 2 hands. I'm going to go first to someone who has not spoken at all.
Done. You cannot do that unless you get a motion to extend the time again. We have a firm commitment to move to the ITC.
All right.
Okay.
We don't know what they're going to say until we hear, but I will warn us that we're going to move instantly to the next agenda item unless there's some earthquake that someone sees coming along.
A very good suggestion. If anyone that has a motion to bring, such as Donna or Terry, if you have a very specific motion, please bring copies for everyone.
Okay.
Ask for copies.
Excellent. And the last thing does have something to do with the time, extension of time, I believe. David.
Given that we need to move the agenda, I'd like to ask that we voted to form these committees, I'd like to ask that the board vote to add 15 minutes at the end of the day to elect the members to the committees we just formed so that we continue the agenda as scheduled. We stick to the time that we have 15 minutes so we can actually populate the committee. So I move and add.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Okay, because we're under a time crunch, can we go to an immediate vote on that? Yes. Okay. Can we get kind of consensus that we can go to a vote on this Adelson suggestion that we try to populate the committees today? We need to populate them. Seeing no objection, those in favor of that, raise your hand. Oh, excuse me. Put your hands down. Marie?
I'm asking for is 15 minutes beginning at 2 p.m. From 2 p.m. to 2:15, we will hold the vote to populate the committee, and in the interim, people should think about which committees they want to be on. According to the motion, if more than 5 people volunteer to serve on the committee, we have an STB vote to decide which 5 will be assigned. That was the motion.
The 2 points. Keep in mind that people can self-nominate who want to be on committees. And secondly, all committee meetings are public, so any board member can go to any committee meeting they wish.
Let me just clarify, and please, anybody who wants to serve on the committee, give that note to Terry in the interim so he has the list at the end of the day.
Those in favor of this motion by David Abelson, raise your hands.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14,
agenda, I want to congratulate the board on the formation of at least some committees. We have more committees, but it is very important that we recognize what we did today. Agenda item IPC, PC background history. And this agenda includes presentations by Glock, Van Aken, and others. I want to find out what the time limit is on these presentations. Sherman? What is the projected time limit for each person?
We had scheduled the entire speech in 15 minutes, and I believe that we could do it in 10.
Each?
No,
all elected. Yeah. Okay, so if the timekeeper will note that this agenda item, background history, has a 10 to 12 minutes.
Okay.
And we should begin.
Okay, can I?
The chair recognizes Sherman well.
I have distributed to all the LSB members a historical timeline and some endnotes of source documents. I do not have an unlimited number. I want to make sure that the seven people who ran for and were elected to the IPC have copies of it. I want to make sure that the entire board has copies, and then we can distribute the rest to the other members of the audience. So, Werner, could you make sure? First of all, let me know what the board has.
Two sheets.
One is double-sided, and the other is single sheet. Okay. I just want to make a very literally quick comment.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt just for a moment. I forgot to make this announcement. We're grateful to Bernie Eisenberg, who is taking sign-ups for public comment. Oh, sorry.
Lawrence.
Oh, Lawrence is doing it now. Okay, Lawrence is taking sign-ups.
I want to clarify the way we built this agenda. The first 30 minutes of public comment is devoted to the people who were elected to the IPC. The next 30 minutes is whoever.
Alright, I'm going to call the body to order. Let's all get very quiet and listen to Sherman.
I want to make just a very quick few comments, and then Jack can run people very quickly through the whole thing. When I initiated the call for the special meeting, it was because there are seven people who have been trying to be heard for I don't know how long and how many meetings. I felt that we needed to hear them. There are members of the LSB. Some of us were involved in the discussion of program council for the past 2 years preceding the beginning of this timeline. Other members are new to the issue. It was critical that the LSB members who were new to the issue be informed. That was the reason that so many of us agreed to have this meeting. We needed to have the committee possibly as a way to actually ultimately resolve this question. So that is our purpose here today. There's a long history to the development of program council. Many of us were involved in that history from the beginning. It begins with Stephen Starr's original post on KPFK that's not included in the timeline because we're focusing on this IPC body. Some of us started responding to it. The Crazy Civic and Neighborhood Network held two forums for people to discuss it. And then, as this history begins, in September 2002, it was discussed. The formation of that body basically grew out of that September meeting. So I think it's helpful for you to look at the timeline, and Jack will run through things with people.
My name is Jack Van Aken. I was on the Interim Program Council Election Committee, which was a committee of the lab. The lab is dissolved. The election committee is dissolved. The Interim Program Council itself is in limbo, and the station put a lot of credibility on the line by promoting the election of the listener reps, the seven listener reps, which were for a proposed 21-member body. That election process was completed. We have the results. We have a set and listeners, several, not all of them are here, not all of them, the problem that needs to be resolved now is for their status to be resolved, and for the results of that election to be announced, so that listeners and subscribers who participated in that balloting will have a sense that there was some completion and that there was not a beginning with no ending. So this was part of the democratization process, which has reached probably its highest culmination in the election of this body, and was the purpose, of course. We all like to think about what we would like to do with the programming at KPFK. This is a way to formalize the participation of all interested parties, listeners, staff. The Interim Program Council proposal, which was formulated in January of 2003 and approved by the lab, included four reps from the collectives. The parts of this election process that were not completed were the staff reps and there were going to be four staff reps and four reps from the collectives. That has never been resolved, and it's really a new day. The intention of the Interim Program Council, why it was called interim, was because when this process started, it was widely believed that the bylaws would mandate program councils at every station. I think we're in a much better situation now because every station now is free to experiment, develop our own program council the way we want to. In my analysis, the key to a successful program council is that all parties are represented adequately, including listeners, staff, volunteers especially, and management. And the other really important thing is to develop and to, I believe, it should be put in writing exactly what is the role of the program council, how does it work with the program director, how do they interact. I really think that that is really the essence of the program council process. Thank you.
Can I make one comment? That is part of my, and then it goes to that. This is part of our. I am hoping that we view this now for the next hour of public comment and the discussion among the LSBs for discussion, so that we've heard people, we have clarity on what the issues are, and that all of us withhold motions until, if we want to make any, until the very end, which means they may need to be tabled. I personally had a motion out there that any of you know. I am not introducing it. What we need is some education here.
I think that's a good way to handle this, that we listen to listener sponsors before motions. I also want to say this first group are the electees. Now, I'd just like a show of hands. How many electees are here? Six? Okay, no, what? Six. Seven. Is Lee, Susan Lee here? Okay, so we're going to ask the timekeeper to give 7 minutes maximum to each of the speakers here.
No,
it could be 5.
4 minutes. 4,
yeah.
Why did you think
that? No, I think, wait.
There are 6 people here.
There are 6 people here. So what?
Someone else is my phone.
Who? Okay.
I think the only missing person is
okay. So I'm going to ask now that electees take 5 minutes, and I'm going to ask the timekeeper, the minute they begin speaking, that we keep a 5-minute time limit so that we can get all of them in the half hour. All right. Thank you very much, and proceed.
Introduce yourself.
Last name.
Myra. Can you put it there so he can be speaking to both us and the listener?
Let's see if we can get it. Okay.
In the order.
Okay. Can we begin?
Yeah. We won't count the time until the speaker begins to speak, but I don't understand why this cannot occur now.
Good job. Mike, Rafael, Linda, Luna, and Randy.
Thank you. Give it, the speaker can introduce himself.
Go.
Go ahead. I'm John Bacher. I ran for IPC starting last September. Put my written statement, which was posted, appeared on the radio, and went to all the forums, Loyola and Pasadena, presented my views, and apparently got away. My views on programming were distributed to everybody on this council through Terry Goodman, a six-page memo that I wrote. And I from the beginning, adhere to the Pacifica mission statement, that Pacifica exists both in its mission statement and in the articles of incorporation, which are one and the same, to educate, solely to educate. And I'm an educator. I've been educating for 35 years as professor of mathematics at Cal State Long Beach, and also have a research job at UCLA. So I approach this whole process of programming from the word go, which is we exist for educational purposes. I find that the programming of KPFK is missing on diversity of content. And I'm so sad. And if I get to be on the programming committee, and I hope the others of us who got elected, based on our statements, people believe that we were going to try to do what we said, then I will push very hard for diversity of content. I won't read any of this, but there are some very important things that are just lacking in the programming. For example, in the most recent election, March the 2nd, having to do with the propositions, I found no apparatus, no basic structure of KPFK programming that addressed the issues which are so important to KPFK listeners. There are millions of people out there who were affected by Proposition 57, the $15 billion Lord of the Flies governor proposal, which really essentially wrecks all the benefits to many people on the bottom end. Millions of people, and very little was said because there was no structure for it, no content structure for state politics, for example. And only a little bit was said by Sonali in her program the night before, the day before was in the morning, and then Susie Weissman said something, and Lila Garrett said a few things, but nothing. I mean, these people are going to be stuck with $2.5 billion, $3.5 billion, and $5.5 billion into the distant future to lose their services. And that means that KPFK, in my opinion, failed in its programming structure. That's one example. Another example is the science, the so-called collective. I've been involved with the Southern California Federation of Scientists, which has been in existence since 1953. That's 51 years. We are a nonprofit corporation. If anybody ever knew what a collective was, we're certainly a group of individuals. That's the definition of a collective. We're a collective, and we're not on the air even though we were on for 15 years doing an expert job of presenting science in the public interest for everybody, all the listeners. People need education in science. You had that in the six-page email that you got sent. And how much more time? 1 minute? Well, if I get on the council, I'll make sure that all of these important areas of human knowledge discovered by human beings for thousands and thousands of years get included as a main part of the structure of the programming. We can't just balkanize and have everybody represented. There are 142 different ethnic groups here. We can't have them all. We should represent them, but we should do it in an umbrella manner so that we get all the viewpoints of social injustice and any other kinds of injustices. And that would be my goal if I become a member of the programming committee. Thank you very much. Well, during public, let's wait until after public comments, so that we can.
No, I'm sorry. The way we structured this specifically was to give 1 hour for public comment in the next session.
He says no, then.
Yeah, okay. Good. We'll come back to you. The next speaker, Michael.
Hi, my name is Michael Novick. I was elected to the Intro Program Council along with Linda Carlson Albright on the first round of balloting. I'd like to thank everybody. everybody who did vote for me. And I'd like to urge the LSB to move expeditiously to allow the program council to take effect and begin to carry out its functions. I ran, as did John, other people with the platform was expressed, and the folio was expressed on the air. We participated in various fora held in different communities and also on air discussions among the various people running for the council. And what I put forward was the importance of restoring banned African and African American programmers to the air. I put forward the importance of supporting the Spanish language program that hadn't added and in fact expanding it. I put forward the necessity of looking at new means of delivering service over the internet and the sidebands and other ways to find ways to expand the amount of time available for people. I put forward the necessity of finding methods of programming that allow grassroots voices to be heard on the air and to look at issues in such a way that many different people could look at them and hear about them and participate in them in depth and at length. Put forward the need for more produced programming, that people spend time out in the field gathering sound, talking to people, developing shows that have very good air quality and also bring in voices that are not normally heard at the station. I talked about the need to keep a log of who the guests are on various shows so that the public can be aware of who is on the air and who's not. And we can see at the station who's getting repeated exposure and who's not getting any exposure whatsoever. And those various points obviously rang a bell with the listeners. We did not have a huge turnout in the election, but I think that had to do with the fact that it was the first election ever conducted at this station, that the ballot was a little obscure because it was printed on the back of the folio, and several people expressed me a concern about the secrecy of the ballot. Other people missed the fact that that was the ballot. So there was no quorum established, and about 600 people had been voted, and we got the results we got. But I do want to point out the necessity of abiding by decisions that were reached and that people accepted and pursued on that basis. So, for example, all of us who ran for the program council accepted a ban from being on the air while we were running for program council. And so I was somebody who from time to time would be on the air and give me a table of yes, and I relinquished that in order to run for program council. And I think you should take into consideration also the fact that there were not only 7 people elected, there were 10 people elected. It was a separate election on the same ballot with 3 members of the old left. Tom Camarella, Earl Grant, and Julie Rodriguez, who was also elected eventually to the LSD, were put forward as lab candidates. Any lab candidate who wanted to put themselves forward could be nominated, and there was a separate ballot for those 3. All 3 of them were, in fact, elected, although that election was never certified, apparently, by the election committee. Nonetheless, all of those 3 people actually got more votes than any single member of the listeners, because there were only 3 of them running, as opposed to about 15 or 16 listeners ran for the 7 listeners. So I would urge you also to recognize their election to this body, the Interim Program Council. I think if you want to take some time to figure out what needs to be done about it, you should allow us, having been elected, to participate in the process of figuring out what the role exactly is going to be and how it's going to mesh with the other things that have been developed under the bylaws. But, you know, we were elected before you, actually, and the elections were not certified and not announced because some people were involved in both elections, and the decision was made that it would be unfair to allow the fact that those people might have been elected or not elected in other elections to influence your election. So that's fine. That's just water under the dam. But now we're a month on, 2 months on. It's time to put into effect and give the listeners what they have every right to expect, is that the people they voted for will have some ability to represent them. And, you know, like to see that happen as expeditiously as possible. So I think the other thing to look at is the question of diversity and the more diversity requirements going forward. And I think they should be carried out. Personally, I would be prepared if necessary to give up the seat in order to ensure the diversity of the board as a whole. I prefer to see it by addition, if necessary, and I think the addition can take place from the board, the interim program council once it's constituted. But I think it is vital, again, since people did vote on the basis of guarantees of diversity on that body, that we also respect that guarantee. And beyond that, I think that we should get started. There's a lot of work to be done, and we want to meet with people all around the listening area and get more people involved through committees and by any other means that we can. But we need you to kind of give your seal of approval or get out of the way and let it happen or whatever it takes. Thank you.
My name is Rafael Rodriguez. I'm also a member of the program council. There are five Pacific stations. Four of them at this juncture have program councils. None of those program councils are under the auspices of local station boards. All four of those program councils are under the auspices of management. At the same time, none of those program councils are elected except the House. Now, obviously, there's been confusion about the role of this program council. I think it's very important for all of you to understand that this program council, while ultimately it was authorized by the local advisory board, was actually a part of a grassroots effort here at KPFK. It extends back some 2 years. There was talk and motion about the program council over 2 years ago. The first concrete proposal from the listener came back in June 2002. There were mass meetings plus a bylaws convention that involved probably ultimately hundreds of listeners in the process of forging this program council. Then there was an election committee set up and the lab approved the process. Ultimately, the purpose of the program council was to serve as an interim body under the auspices of the lab until we were elected. For reasons that I can't explain, there were delays in the process, and now we have what appears to be a conflicting dynamic between the program council established and what some of you, I think, mistakenly perceive about powers that are granted you under the bylaws. The powers that are granted under the bylaws to the local station board with respect to programming are relatively narrow. The primary power that you have is to make sure that programming decisions are being made in a fair and collaborative way. That does not necessarily include the designation of programming policies by this board. Of course, in the spirit of grassroots democracy, it should be a given. I hope that for all of you, it's a given that the people who are elected to this board, including the local advisory board members, will be seated on an independent program council. I think that there should be a new meaning for the word I, not interim, but independent. And the reason for that independence, I think, is very important to understand. The way the program council was designed, okay, and I was involved in the OCD, so the way the program council was designed was based largely on what the CPB calls the community advisory board. It used to be the local advisory board, as we call it here at KDFA and elsewhere in Pacifica. And the community advisory board, the CPB, specifically states that there should be a way for listeners to have direct and independent input into programming policy, that the community should have direct and independent input into programming policy that is independent of the governing board. And that's very important. There's a reason for that. It's the federal government itself recognizes the importance of uncontrolled, uncensored input from the community. That's why we insist the community advisory board, which the program council's model, be independent. Now, we have something of a mellow. You know, we have a COI, we have an LSD, we have a program council, we have a simple program committee of the local station board, and we have all the notion of all these competing powers. You know, I don't think it needs to be that way. My own feeling is that because the program council is elected with an eye toward diversity, that the program council could form the core of the new community advisory board. That, in fact, you know, that way we don't have the IPC saying one thing, you set up a town or appoint whoever you want, that says something opposite, and somebody's got to come in, whether it's Eva or whether it's you, and, you know, make some decision, right? And that, maybe that's what somebody wants to do, is make the programming decisions. But that's not really what the bylaws call for you to do. That's not what the CDB calls for you to do. CDB calls for you to not do that. So I urge you to make the program council independent in the first place, And secondly, to consider deeply the question of the community powers and of making the program council the core of the community advisory board.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Linda Crofton. I was elected to this board along with Michael Novick. I was on the first ballot. And I'm accustomed as I am to public speaking. I would just like to say that I was elected on a platform of openness, that I wanted all the communities of Los Angeles to be heard to all the communities of Los Angeles. In other words, that we all understand each other and so that we have a greater idea of what's going on in the area that we live in. I would like to see increased listenability. My idea is to expand leadership, listenership, and by getting people to, and by asking people to listen, I want them to be able to hear something that they stay listening to. In terms of the program council, one of the things that I would like to say at every meeting is start out with everybody putting their cell phones on vibrate. I agree with a lot of things that Michael said. You know, whether we become a part of this board or not, that we should just get moving. And I would like to really deal with the procedures and mechanisms by which to have oversight over the programming that is going on and future programming that's proposed. We have had two meetings already. Many of us agreed on three of the points that were brought up, and I'll just read them to you. We did not agree on the fourth point, and another issue that was brought up was that we would have committees, and that was not agreed to, and so that was just an idea that's been floating around by some people. Number one, that the integrity of the elections and the will of the voters be respected, and that the legitimacy of the establishing language for the IBC be respected as it pertains to the authority's powers and composition of the Interim Program Council, and that the mandate authority's powers and composition of this program council not be altered or diluted in any way. And I don't see actually that conflicts with anything that has been proposed and that I've heard of. Just as long as we are incorporated as the legitimately voted on and elected members of the listenership. And I think that the election process did give great exposure, almost more exposure than the LSC board members, to the listenership. I agree with Michael that perhaps there were some difficulty in getting the election accomplished, but those who did vote knew what they were doing, and I think that they heard us and voted for us on that basis. The second point was that all of the program council be elected by the members of the board of the broad constituencies that they represent with their appointments, and three, that the question of the chair be left to the IBC itself. The fourth issue that we did not all agree on, but it was out there, was that the sense of the majority present, that was 3 out of 4 at that particular meeting, was that the elected lab members be seated. I was the one that didn't agree on that because I just am not sure about the legality of that, and I defer to any of the legal authorities on these matters. I would just like to be incorporated, and I agree with Michael that if we do have a committee of a committee of a committee to discuss the committee of the committee, the programming council, whatever, that the elected members be part of that and be part of that discussion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Programs and Learner Meeting. Now I'll select the Internship Program Council. My first point is one of the most controversial, and there's no real consensus that the KPFK, the Local Advisory Board, empowered the IPC when it decided to hold that election on the 5th of October 2002. Now, there's some of us that, a lot of us that have a problem with that, although we're not in agreement on what that is. There are some of us who hold, and myself is not included in this, is that the LAB has been, since the LAB has been superseded by the LSB, that all decisions previously made by the LAB are null and void, and therefore the IPC cannot be seated or empowered until ratified by the LSB. My own position is that the IPC was empowered when by the LAB when it decided to hold that election, and that the election is simply a means of populating that committee, and it carries with it all the right and authority that the LAB held at that time. This was before the ratification of the new bylaws, and therefore it's not subject to the new bylaws, as the new bylaws cannot be applied ex facto. Now I have two problems with it. The first one is that the IPC is interim. This was known when the LAB knew at the time that it was to be phased out, even though the new bylaws were not yet passed. And it was supposed that, either the new bylaws or the LSB would create the permanent program council. Now that the LAB has been superseded by the LSB, the IPC can no longer look to the body that created it for guidance, and therefore must transfer that function to the LSB, which has not yet recognized it. The second problem is that a body cannot confer to any other body that it creates any power greater than what itself has. Specifically, this means that the LAB was strictly advisory, and I believe that many of us see that the program council is more than advisory. How much more than advisory remains yet to be decided. There's a problem that the LSB as a governing body, as opposed to an advisory body, can rectify. Therefore, I'm proposing that the LSB recognize the IPC as it was constituted by the LAB, and that the members from both of it. Some of this has changed since I wrote this down. Basically, that we continue to empower the election as it was passed by the voted by the members of the station. I believe that also includes the three LAB members that were on that, which I believe should continue on as elected until the next election. At which time any LSB members, if there's any LSB members that wish to be on the LAB, that's probably something that should be decided here today. There's some other things that I might bring up if there's any questions about them.
Thank you.
I'm Randy Smith. Last meeting, I argued why I thought the composition duties and selection process for members should stand as is. I mentioned all the time-consuming tasks that we have to perform to get elected or campaign. Okay, second point. I think the ISPC should start doing its work right now without the missing members. We have 10 people, that's 20 for getting work done. The LAB candidates were elected and should be retained. There's no harm in letting them serve now and replacing them with LSC members at the next election. The absence of the other constituencies is due to some combination of dereliction of duty by election officials and lack of interest on the part of these constituencies. If we listener members could get through all the required rigmarole to get elected, there's no excuse for the others not to have completed their elections. So if the others aren't interested enough to bother, I see no reason why we shouldn't proceed without them. This also would have a practical advantage, to the extent that they are interested, of spurring them to make an extra effort to get themselves elected as soon as possible, so they could join us really soon rather than being left out. The alternative would be endless delay. I don't think I need argue that. Third, the IPC should not be a subcommittee of the LSB. I'm involved with KPFK because I see our world heading towards death, and I look to KPFK as a vehicle for transmitting information and ideas that could prevent it. KPFK does a lot of good programming that should be retained, that is necessary for reversing this downward trend, but it's not sufficient. All the types of things KPFK and activists in general have been doing for decades have not been enough to reverse or even slow this trend. Therefore, we need radically new ideas and programming representing as diverse a mix as possible of ideas, viewpoints, communities, and cultures. Eva and Armando are moving us in this direction and need to continue and go much further. I have seen or heard the views on the IPC of three of the most prominent LSD members. One seemed to imply that the past formation and election of the IPC were invalid and the whole thing should be redone. But out of consideration for the electees and the listeners who elected them, they would like to honor their election, at least so far as is workable. Another delegate suggested increasing the number of LSD members on the IPC from 3 to 7, while another suggested that the LSD appoint the staff and collective representatives instead of having them elected. In some cases, they've backed down on these points, but the fact that they originally proposed them may betray an underlying intention. This looks like it may be an attempt by a dominant, rather homogeneous faction of the LSD to control our programming. But why control it? I think these are good people with good intentions, but perhaps they want to run KPFK their way because they think they know what is best, that they have the answers. But there are no answers. There can only be poor approximations to answers, and we can only hope to keep coming up with less and less poor approximations until, with luck, we may find something close enough to produce real improvement. I fear the control of KPFK by people who think they have the answers could result in
30 seconds.
All right, let me go. Control by such people could result in limitations that would inhibit the emergence of the wildly novel ideas and programs that we need to have a chance at saving the world. I really don't know whether or to what extent any of our LSD members are going to prescribe, but it worries me. So at least to help ensure against such a thing happening in the future, I think it would be best for the program council to be able to handle the LSD.
Thank you very much.
Now, you just heard from the elected members.